Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. Name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. We're going through the book of Proverbs today, so we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, and I'm going to dive right in. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yes, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For Yahuwah, and the Lord in the King James English, but actually is the name of the Creator, and I believe it does make a difference to understand, to read with understanding. For he gives wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler, he is a shield, a protection. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. How many people out there want the fear to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God? Well, you know, I have to judge that not very many people are interested in this kind of knowledge. The scripture speaks of people that are always learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. How can you always be learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth? Well, that's easy in the age that we live in. We live in the so-called information age. And you have information wars out there. And you have websites like InfoWars and Prison Planet. It goes on and on. And all you have is information. And when the Spirit of God says that they're always learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth, well, this is what he's typifying. People that just keep getting more information. They're always learning, but they can't find the truth. They end up in confusion, or they're being programmed with emotional reactions to the information that they're receiving, to either get them angry, to react that way, or to get them to tune out and turn off and try to escape through the use of drugs or whatever other forms of entertainment the society offers. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And here is the truth. If you will receive my words, and this is my son, this is the preacher is speaking it, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, you shall, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, and here's the key, if you seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Now in the world, what does the world seek? Well, I could again use the words of the Messiah. He said about what the nations seek after. They seek after things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to have a better car than the Joneses? How am I going to get that $250,000, $400,000 home? How? How am I going to get all these things? He said, after these things do the nations seek. And that's obvious. They bring up their children. They put them in the public school system. And they teach them how to get things, how to get a job, so they can get things. At least that's the idea that they give them, when the reality is they're teaching them or training them to be good slaves so that their masters can get things and they can be appeased with whatever little their masters leave them with, because that's the way of the world. The rich rule over the poor. The rich oppress whoever they can through whatever mind control methods they have. So they teach you that you have to get a career, you have to go to college so you can get a job and get it all together, and they'll give you everything you need, credit number so that you can participate in their unlawful monetary system of unjust weights and balance, so that you can become their slave for your life, so you can mortgage your life away. That's what they're training you for. That's what they're training your children for, because that's the way it has been. And that's the system that they've been perfecting for the last 100 years. But here, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's from the King James, the words of the Messiah, from the King James translation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is right in his sight? Do his will, his kingdom. What is right in his kingdom is his law. That's why he says, to hide your commandments with you. That's to keep them safe, to hide his commandments in your heart. Let them be your guide. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord. Now, that's something that the world doesn't like, that fear of the Lord. They hate that. They hate repentance. Even in their corporate state-run churches, state-controlled churches, and you can tell if it's a state-controlled church or not, if they have a 501c3 incorporated status and they're getting tax-deductible donations, that means that they have two masters. Well, actually, can you really have two masters? Well, at least we know they have one master, and that's the state, because the state is the master of that organization, that corporation, and that corporation, that whole setup is there to control, to govern them, to make sure that they stay in line. Because if they do certain things, then they will lose their privilege. And it might be a good thing if they lose their privilege. As a matter of fact, I'm all for revoking the not-for-profit tax-deductible status of all churches, incorporation status of all churches. I think they should tax them as businesses. Because they are. They are businesses. And a lot of people, you know, because you know what I want? I want the churches to separate from the state. I want there to be a great divorce. Because the minute they do that, the minute they start taxing the churches, well, they lose their privilege. And that's exactly why they will not do it. Because they will lose control of them. They can only control them so long as they allow them privileges, so long as they entice them with that temptation. And the temptation, of course, is money. I mean, it basically gets down to money and the love of money. And though they would never admit it, and though it seems right in their sight, they're being good stewards. You know, we have the good steward doctrine. Yes. To seek for her as silver, and search for her as hid treasures. The way the world seeks after monetary gain, the way the world seeks for riches and to better themselves in their positions, in their careers, that is the way that we are supposed to seek wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God, that to understand the fear of the Lord. That's how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that comes with a promise. And he says, and all of these things will be added to you. You know, now that's, if you're a thinking man, woman, if you're a thinking man or woman out there, you gotta think that's a pretty good deal. Because you can follow the ways of the world and you can seek the things, you know, what am I gonna eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to drive? Where am I going to live? How am I going to pay my bills? And then while you're doing all that, they're indoctrinating you in your ways so that you'll give them your children to train, because they don't want you training your children, not according to what I'm reading here, to understand the fear of the Lord. That maybe even be child abuse, to understand the fear of the Lord. Yes, we won't get into that today, but perhaps that could be a topic for something in between Bible studies. To understand the fear of the Lord, to seek for her as silver. Here, of course, we're personifying understanding and wisdom and knowledge. And this is the understanding and the wisdom and knowledge of our Creator. It says, for then you shall understand the fear of Yahuwah and understand the knowledge of God, using the word Elohim, where God is in the Old Testament. For Yahuwah, the Lord, he giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So how does he speak to us? If out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, how does he speak to us? He speaks to us through his word. And that's what it means. When out of his mouth, you pick up his word and you read it. And you seek for the knowledge. You seek for the wisdom. You seek for the fear of the Lord. And you seek it as the world seeks for silver, for riches, for money, for gain, to get all of the things they need for their life and more. That's how you seek for it. And you search for her as for hid treasures, as the treasure hunter search for a hidden treasure. You search for the wisdom and the knowledge of our Heavenly Father. That's what it says here. It says, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. So there's a clue. And it goes right along with what the Messiah said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because if you're seeking him, guess what? Well, that's the beginning of righteousness. Because you're doing what is right in his sight. That's the beginning. It's like repentance is the first act of obedience that is required to cross over into the kingdom of God. Repentance. It's an act of obedience. Repentance is the work that he requires. Did I say work? Did I say, you mean works? Am I talking about works-based religion? Well, works are involved here. Works are necessary. Can anyone be saved? Can anyone be forgiven without repentance? That is the beginning of the works that are required for salvation. Repentance. There is no forgiveness without repentance. Can anyone gainsay that? Can anyone argue with that statement? Any of you who attend the easy believism denominations out there, the say the magic words, oh, they call those magic words, when you say those magic words, they call that repentance. Well, those may be the words of repentance, but do we have the action? Do we have the works to back up the words? Or are we just giving him lip service? They praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. True repentance is that we change our minds truly, and we say to our Heavenly Father, the things that I have been doing are wrong. That thing that your Holy Spirit is convicting me of, that thing was wrong, and I don't want to do it anymore. See, I've changed my mind, where I even loved to do that thing before. Now I'm saying, no, if I'm going to live my life to please you, if I'm going to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, now I'm saying, though I love to do that thing, it was wrong. And you need to teach me, Heavenly Father, please teach me to hate that thing that you hate so that I won't do it anymore, so that I don't do anything that does not please you. That's repentance. And then if you fall, you reach for his hand, say, help. You know, I've done that thing so much in the past that it's easy for me to fall into it. Help me, Father. Hold me up. When you start to fall, run to him. When you fall into sin, run to him. Don't run away from him. The enemy wants you to turn your back on God. He wants you to hide like Adam and Eve did in the bushes. But his Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father, he wants you to run to him, not hide in shame. Come to him, receive forgiveness, and ask him to teach you obedience. That's what he requires. That's what he wants. And the first step, the first act of obedience for everyone that turns to our Heavenly Father is repentance. That's where it begins. And that is only the beginning. You can't just say the magic words and go there, I've done it, I've repented. Because you're only going through the motions. There's no real, true repentance there. Because if the works don't follow the repentance, then you need to question your salvation. You need to question whether you've really entered into his kingdom or not, or whether you've been deceived into an easy believism type of faith, where you just say the magic words and now you can go about your business because the law of God has been nailed to the cross. And that's what they teach in so many of these corporate, state-run churches, that the law was nailed to the cross. Nothing could be further from the truth. Or else why would Yahshua, Jesus, have said, many who call on me will not enter into the kingdom. Those who simply say, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Yes, he said that. It's not simply calling on his name. It's not simply calling him Lord, but doing the will of our Father who art in heaven. And remember that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's how his kingdom comes, when you do his will, when you live according to his commandments, and you do it with a glad heart because you want to please him. You're bringing his kingdom into your life because his kingdom is where he is the king and he rules. But he's looking for volunteers. He does not use force on any of us. He wants us to volunteer to live by his law, to say, please, Father, write your law upon my heart so that I may live a life that's pleasing to you. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a shield. He is a buckler, a protection to them that walk uprightly. So it is important to be righteous. It is important to walk uprightly. He, that is our Heavenly Father, by name here Yahuwah in the Hebrew, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yes, every good path. That's the kind of understanding I want. Seek for her as silver and as for hid treasure. Verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Has wisdom entered into your heart? Is the knowledge of God, the fear of the Lord, is it pleasant unto your soul? He says, then discretion shall preserve you, and understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil and from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. We don't want to go there. We want to keep our foot from their paths, as we read in the prior chapter. Refrain your foot from their paths when they call you to break his law in any manner whatsoever. As we discussed Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the law of God was written on their hearts. They knew it. They would not obey the authorities. They defied the police powers and the rulers of their day, even though they were slaves in Egypt. Because a slave is supposed to obey his master, even in the Lord. That's right. Paul said it, you know, servants obey your masters. You know, if you're a slave, if you're out there, if you're an employee working for an employer, basically you have a master-slave relationship. But if your master tells you to do evil, you don't do it. You don't break God's law to keep the law of your master, even if it costs you your life, your job, or anything lesser than that. You know, perhaps you may be going, well, if I don't do it, then I won't have bread for my children. Oh, well, that's faith, isn't it? God, I'm going to break your law because I don't believe that you're going to provide for my children if I lose my job because it requires me to break your law. Wow. The just shall walk by faith. Yeah, there, that's faith for you, isn't it? I have to give up my job to throw off the mark of the beast. That's faith. God isn't going to take care of me. What would I do? Well, yeah, you'd have to live by faith. Oh, no, you know, I'm 54 years old, and in 11 years, I'll be able to collect Social Security. But if I stop participating in it, what will I do when I turn 65? Oh, God understands why I have to participate in this ungodly scheme. No, he understands that you don't have faith in him, that you're not willing to live by faith. That's what he understands. Yes, he understands. That's right. He understood Esau, you know, he understood Cain. Yes, he understands. That's right. He does understand. He understands why you can't keep his law, why you're breaking his law. He understands because that's the decision you've made. You've chosen to live by, well, not by faith. He understands. Yes, probably be more fun to go listen to Rush Jones and, you know, the fearmonger and get all excited about all the information that doesn't bring you the truth of righteousness and the fear of the Lord. It brings you a different kind of fear, an evil fear. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver you from the way of the evil, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they and froward in their paths. That's an interesting word. They turn aside. They depart. They're perverse. That's what frowardness or frowardness means. Froward in their paths. They're crooked. They're perverse. To deliver you from the strange woman. From the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsake the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth to death, and her paths unto the dead. So now we're personifying this wickedness as a woman which forsakes the guide of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. She throws it off. She's tempted. See, because the commandment says, obey your mother and father. Yeah, that's what it says. But she wants to throw it off. She wants to follow the lust of her flesh. She does not want to be obedient to her mother and father. So she goes out into the world, and the world says, bow down to the God your state, and we will give you license to do anything you want. We'll give you a license to marry whoever you want. Doesn't matter what you says. Romance. The idolatry of romance. Bow down to the idol of romance, and you will find freedom. The freedom to love the way that you want to love. That's right. And what kind of love is it? I'll tell you, it ain't agape. And that's what the world is offering. And it sounds very good. And how many are called away by this strange woman? They flatter with the words, oh, you are so good. And, you know, we're just, man is inherently good. You're not, the heart isn't wicked above all things like the word of God says. No, man is inherently good. There is good in all men. And your love is good. You need to live your own life. You need to find yourself. And all of these things that they teach you in the world to rob you of your faith. And that's why the devil loves a public school system. And now that they even control the church, there's no threat at all. You know, they have the child, 30, 40 hours a week? And they go to church for 1 hour a week? And then they go to a state church that can't speak out? Can't say anything against public policy? Yes, the temptations are overwhelming. The mind control, the brainwashing is overwhelming. Who can overcome it? Very few. We'll be back in a few minutes.